Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. If you're new to the show, if this is your first show that you've ever listened to in terms of archives, or if you're listening to this on YouTube or one of the other stations out there that's carrying this information, this might be a shocker to you. There's going to get a ton of information is going to be thrown at you in a very short time. So try not to experience too much cognitive dissonance and just hang with me a minute. I'm going to dive in with both feet and then we'll step back a little bit and try to connect some of the dots and make more sense of things. We're covering a book called The Might of Thoughts, and it's written by a man named Edward Albert Meyer, affectionately known as Billy Meyer, all over the world. He's an extremely prolific author. He's written, I think, about 50 books now. He lives in Switzerland, about 45 minutes east of Zurich, in a beautiful pine forest nestled among the snow-capped mountains of northern Switzerland. This is an incredibly advanced book, and we're going to cover maybe one sentence in the next 10, 20 minutes, and then I'll step back and talk about some other things and try to pull things together. Let me read this to you. It says, "Therefore, it is necessary to search for the source of the life power and to develop the power in order to have a reliable life potential upon which one can depend. Therefore, in which one can completely trust." So the life power is said to lead to a life potential if it's developed. And the life potential appears as one word in the German. However, that might be a specific word related to the Meyer teaching. I can find no translation for that. We are told to search for the source of something in this passage. We are told to search for the source of the life power. The German word for source is Quelle. And we are told to search, and search means to seek carefully and thoroughly. Search means to look at or examine a person, object, etc., carefully in order to find something concealed. Now, the definition of the word source is a point or origin of procurement, a beginning, one that initiates an author. A source is something or someone that causes or produces something. Let me step back again. It says, "Therefore, it is necessary to search for the source of the life power." The German word for life power is Lebenskraft, which means life force or energy, and that's what we're dealing with here, a life force or an energy. It's also called the living power, the vital energy. It refers sometimes to animal spirit in one definition. And Lebenskraft appears in Contact Report 39, where Pata and Billy are discussing the human being's mental forces. And this is an excerpt from that conversation. It says, "Then the case is indeed clear. There's something else. However, that you should explain for everyone, for the interest of our cause, namely the connections of certain connections with the age of the earth human being. I already know about these because Svath informed me about them when I was a boy. Nevertheless, these things were never written down, so others aren't oriented about them. I'm referring to the fact that the mental forces of every single human being are capable of raising or lowering the life force of others. So our mental forces can lower or raise the life force, the Lebenskraft of others. We can also raise and lower our own life force, I assume. Let me continue here. Because the thinking of a life form through the cooperation of the spirit produces an extremely logical, thus creation-related force that is released as high-frequentive vibrations and radiations. A tremendous force is thus produced which can influence everything. So we have a force, which is our thinking, which can influence everything. And we're told to search for the source of our life power, our Lebenskraft, and to learn to develop that power. And develop means to advance or to grow and to strengthen. In order to have a reliable life potential, so the development of this life power produces a life potential. Let me jump back down to Pata and Billy again. At the earliest times, when the human being of the earth was also produced by his indirect ancestors, his average age was reckoned at 1,007 years of life. For he trained and, informed by his producers, possessed an enormous level of knowledge and ability. So, when the Pleiaron were on the earth, and we were influenced by them, we were trained by them, and our thinking was in conjunction with the creational natural laws, and our life force was much more powerful, so we lived very long lifespans. The religions, our religions here on earth, depleted our life force and played a role in shortening our lifespans. Remember, we're talking about the Lebenskraft, which is the life force. And the Might of Thoughts tells us it is necessary to search for the source of the life power and to develop it. Now, this was difficult. I mean, this is a very difficult passage to try to make sense out of and to try to grasp how profound this is. It took a lot of, there's a striving involved with trying to understand these. And sometimes I don't look forward to going through the difficulty, but I have to admit this has been very informative and very interesting. So let's continue here. Lebenskraft is used in the book called The OM. The OM is the Omfalon Murado, very interesting book that talks about how the gods of the earth were human. And hello, Kate. I just saw Kate from Switzerland in the chat room, and I think I see Always Strive in there, and I know who that is. But let me step back again. I was talking about the Omfalon Murado, the OM, the book. I think it's called The Navel of Life. It says here about the Lebenskraft. Everything that the human inherits, everything that he brings with him through the billionfold existence of the past, everything that he enjoyed, knew, read, learned, or experienced in his past lives lies concealed in his unconscious. And let me think about this with you a little bit, because I feel like I'm still thinking about these passages with you more than sharing with you exactly what they mean. You know, I think we have a tremendous amount of knowledge in our subconscious, in our unconscious mind. And that brings with it a tremendous responsibility that I think, at least in my case, I have to say I fight against, because I don't want to always accept the responsibility for having to dive into this stuff and pull the information out. But we are required to continually strive. And one of the things we have to do is identify this Lebenskraft within us, this life power. And this life power eventually can become a life potential when we learn to develop it. And much of the Lebenskraft is in the unconscious. So let me continue to read here. Why therefore does he not master the technique of concentration? And why does he not order his unconsciousness and make full use of his knowledge and ability? Well, I didn't know we could order our unconscious, but I guess we can tell our unconscious to do things. But for this, it is required that he fights his own stupidity. And let me tell you, I fought my own stupidity today. The Meyer material causes a cognitive dissonance within us sometimes as it straightens out our wrong thinking. And that's when we have to fight against our own stupidity. So let me go back. But for this, it is required that he fight his own stupidity and acknowledge that the material intellect constitutes no human if it does not also in the same measure work together with the spiritual intellect. So we have the spiritual consciousness, which comes from our spirit form. We have the material intellect, which is who we are in this lifetime, who we are in the current personality, and deep within our subconscious and our is the wisdom of all those previous lives. The spirit form has all the wisdom of those previous lives. And we have something called the false ego, which fights against the innermost creational personality. And it tries to create a tyranny because it is fundamentally threatened by our spiritual advance. And I experienced that today and yesterday as I was studying this information. We have an inner conflict between the material consciousness and the spiritual consciousness, because the material consciousness is fundamentally threatened by our evolution and our knowledge. It's called the false ego. And I want to move on to something that I probably need to cover in a little more detail at some point. I think we need to cover all this in more detail. It's called Lebenskraft as used in the Tree of Life symbol. If you've ever seen the peace symbol in the Meyer information, it looks like a Y. It's branching upward. And this is symbolic of the Lebenskraft, the life force. Now, on Earth, we switch this around backward, where the tree of life is showing downward. And the turnaround tree of life does not let the life force, the force of life, become effective, but lets the force flow into the ground. In that way, life's counterpart is changed to become the annihilator of life. In another word, the so-called peace symbol symbolizes destruction. We use the symbol of destruction on Earth. So the symbol is inculcating our unconsciousness and our subconsciousness with annihilation and ruin. It doesn't even refer to death in an evolutionary form. There is a normal, healthy death that is part of our evolution into the next life, and maybe we'll talk about that again today, which is striving towards the existence. So in death, we strive to learn all the information from our past lives, store all that, and that's part of our striving too. It's an important part of life, the time in the spiritual realm. On the contrary, the so-called peace symbol refers in its wrong usage to a senseless death, to a destruction in a de-evolutionary form. And this is something I call the earth. And I come up against this every day, and it gives me pain every day that I see this. I call the earth the planet of unnecessary death, because where I live, I see dead animals on the roads all the time. I continually see the bulldozers coming in and knocking down beautiful trees. So we are living on the planet of unnecessary death. And that's because we don't understand the Lebenskraft. We don't understand the life force. We don't understand the importance of all life, that all of it fits together. All of it has a purpose. The trees are there for a reason. The animals are there for a reason. The forests moderate the weather. And because we've destroyed our forests, we have tremendous hurricanes and floods. So anyway, we've dived in with both feet in this book called The Might of Thoughts. And what I want to do is step back just a little bit for people that pick up this particular archive for the first time and listen to it at Ohio Exopolitics or FM or one of these other outlets now that's playing this. If people that listen to it on YouTube that have no idea what I've just talked about, who are experiencing a great cognitive dissonance right now, because all the Meyer information produces a cognitive dissonance, particularly when you're really learning. And this uncomfortableness is you realizing that you have two notions inside you that are really in conflict. And you have two notions that you thought were correct, but one of them is probably wrong, and you'll have to rethink it. Now, Billy Meyer is 80 years old. He lives in a tiny mountain village in Switzerland. When he was about 4 years old or so, back in 1943, he started to get telepathic messages from a man named Svoth. Svoth was a human being from what's called the Pleiaren star system. And this star system was some 80 light years beyond our Pleiades in a different space-time configuration. It is one of the other space-time configurations in our universe. Our universe has seven different layers. And the fourth layer of our universe is where all the stars are, where the galaxies are, where the solar systems are. And these people, called the Pleiaren, they also live in the fourth layer of our universe. Everything that lives, material life, lives in the fourth layer of our universe. But this fourth layer of our universe is divided into seven other layers or time configurations, space-time configurations. And most of these extraterrestrial humans are in other space-time configurations than ours. In our space-time configuration, the stars are much farther apart. And that makes it not so easy for developing civilizations to have contact with each other. Now, the Pleiaren are much older than us. They're much more advanced than us. They're living at the fifth stage of human evolution. And in the fifth stage of human evolution, we're just at the point where we are losing the need for a physical body. And the human being eventually evolves to the point where he no longer needs a physical body. And the Pleiaren are just about there. We here on Earth are at stage two of evolution. that means we're in what's called rational life. So we're still struggling. One of the things we're struggling with here on the earth is the controlling of our thoughts. And that's why the earth is in such chaos right now, because we're really a people that are mentally ill. And that's described in the opening introduction of this book here called The Might of Thoughts. And this is very, very important, because I think we all have to also face this fact that I call the earth the planet of unnecessary death. Well, the reason our planet has such unnecessary death is because of the fundamental unhealthiness of our mentality, our thinking process. And I think this is why I've spent so much time in this particular book. It's so critical that we start to heal our thinking process. And, you know, when you get back to Billy and you get back to some of his prophecies, and I want to talk about some of his prophecies right now, because he has, you know, when he met with Svath as a young boy there in northern Switzerland, Svath placed a device on his head, you know, when Billy was in the ship with Svath orbiting the earth, a device was placed on Billy's head. This device did two things. It blocked out, it put a kind of a protection on Billy's mind, so people that wanted to get into his mind would not be able to do that. The other thing that it did is it awakened his abilities from past lives, being able to look into the future. And we're right now at this crucial time where many of these prophetic things that Billy's talked about are coming true. And let me just cover a few of these really quickly. Around 2020, Billy said that the government of the United States would begin to start to fall apart. He also said that farther down the line, that there would be two civil wars in the United States, and that these civil wars, one would shortly follow the other. And this would be a very, very difficult time, and that the United States would be divided into five different areas. And I really think we're, the potential for this is very, very real right now. Billy also predicted, or the prophecies, and there's a difference between a prophecy and a prediction. The prophecies say this could happen. Prediction says this will happen. So Billy had the prophecy that we would have hurricanes and fires. And that's the two big things that we've seen, these raging fires on the West Coast, as well as these hurricanes, which destroyed parts of Texas, completely wiped out Puerto Rico this year, and other areas like Florida. Florida had 7 million people without power for a while. What else did Billy have prophecies about? He talked about the San Francisco earthquake, which is another thing that's coming right around the corner here. And we're seeing more and more earthquakes and mudslides. The other thing that we're going to see, the greatest disaster in human history, happens in North America, where nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons are released, and they, outside of human control, by automated systems. This is another thing that's a great prophetic time. Billy also made prophecies about what's called the secret dark order, which is taking control of the earth. And this dark order wants to take away your right of self-determination. And how are they going to do that? By making you take an implanted microchip, by taking away your right to bear arms, by taking away your right to travel freely. The new Google cars, these new self-driving cars, don't even have a steering wheel in them. There's a very sinister group of people that are working to take control of the entire earth. They have control over the money, control of the power. They want a one world currency. They want a one world government. So it's very critical that we continue to strive to develop this mental muscle to handle the difficult and trying times that we're faced with. Now remember, the goal here is learning how to have neutral, positive thinking that is not overly positive, it's not negative. But you see, the universe is neutral positive. It has a balance. And just like a tree, a healthy tree has the roots underground and the visible part of the tree, its elongated stem, the trunk. So the human kind that we have right now is ill in its consciousness. So we do not have this balance. We've also lost our ability for independent thinking. And thinking is more and more stunted on our planet because we live in this consumer society with newspapers, magazines, and books. So everyone doesn't think on their own. They get their thinking from their churches, from their various organizations, from the media. And people are programmed to use faith instead of logic. And the fact in our Bible, the writer of Matthew omitted the words dealing with logic for a reason. Because in the New Testament, they don't want the readers to think for themselves. They want the new followers of the religions to follow the teachings of the church. If you use logic, then you start to think independently for yourself. And Billy's second teacher, his second extraterrestrial mentor after Sloth, he met with Sloth for 11 years, and while he was growing up in northern Switzerland, young Billy would have these meetings with Sloth, sometimes go up in the ship, and Sloth kept teaching him more and more things. But when Billy was 16 years old, he got his second mentor, a woman from the Tao universe, who was also a human being, and from a race of human beings called the Timmers. And this Tao universe is a parallel universe to ours, a twin universe. That's the same age as our universe, 46 trillion years old. And she said a very interesting thing in Ask Its Explanations in Part 5. She said the human, meaning the Earth human, is still not capable of coping with and fully understanding the truth. And he is not yet mature enough to know his future and to approach it correctly. For that reason, the truth must be rewritten prophetically for him as in equations in order to make him think independently, where he slowly finds and recognizes the truth himself. Now, I always kind of wondered, what are all these prophecies about? I mean, I think it's required today in order to get people kind of out of their, you know, their hypnotic trance that people are in. Billy says that we're the forger of our own fortune. We create our own good luck through good thoughts lead to good feelings, and your feelings grow out of your thoughts. And good thoughts and good feelings lead to good habits. Good habits lead to good circumstances in your life. So our good thoughts create good circumstances. What we think we make real, what we think about ourselves, we become. And neutral positive thinking means that both the positive and the negative are brought together and equalized. That means that the negative and the positive, there are two forces which belong together and should never be separated because they depend on one another. That means when you have negative come into your life, don't fight against it. Flow with it and recognize that that negativeness is going to allow you to have a balance. So the positive, some aspect of positive will have to come up to deal with this challenge. So try not to eliminate the negative. If you try to eliminate the negative in your life, then you'll become unbalanced. So what we need to do is clarify our thoughts. And clarify means to make them less confused, to be more comprehensive. Clarify means make them easier to understand, to clear up confusion, to clear uncertainty out. To clarify means to take the ambiguity out, to take away the lack of understanding, to build the borders up so you can recognize the different categories of things. Now, Emmanuel was one of Billy's former personalities. You know, when Billy went up in the Sloth's ship, Sloth told him that he had been Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. Emmanuel wrote in one of his final teachings, "Truly I say to you, a love that is unlimited, constant, and unfailing is unconditional and is a pure love, in whose fire all that is impure and evil will be burned. And Emmanuel went on to say, everything human within the human must die, but everything of creation within them must rise and embrace creation. That's what I was saying to you at the beginning of the show, and that our false ego is fundamentally threatened by our evolution because it knows it's going to die. Now, your spirit form will never die. Your spirit form resides in the center of your middle brain in an area called the superior colliculus, in the area that integrates sight and integrates all your senses together. The spirit form is said to be the wonder of all wonders. It records everything we do, all of our thoughts, all of our impulsation. It never dies, it never sleeps. It's recording everything that we're doing in this lifetime. And it is said to be a tellstock or a fragment of the universal intelligence. There's a universal intelligence, the universal consciousness, the Meyer information uses the German term Wesenheiten to define this intelligence, because this intelligence is kind of a spiritual energy. It's not a personification. It's not a heavenly father. It doesn't put anyone in a hell or a heaven. And it's neutral. It doesn't get involved in your life in the sense it's not going to save you. There is no salvation doctrine as the churches teach. In other words, your salvation is dependent on you. And you are responsible for everything you do, everything you say. But creation has given us a wonderful thing in this, in that our spiritual consciousness, the people on the earth are pretty young, but it's still the typical person on the earth is about 4.5 million years old in his spiritual consciousness. And your spiritual consciousness, your spirit form, will send you impulses. And you'll be impulsed on what you're supposed to do and what you can do. And Semyase put it this way, Billy's third contact said it this way. Your spirit form will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong, if you've learned to pay attention to it. I want to read something from the book called The Psyche on concentration. I want to just read a few things because concentration is real important. I covered it very quickly at the beginning of the show when I was talking about the Lebenskraft or the life force, in that much of the power of the life force is in the subconscious, but if we could use our concentration, we could take advantage and use that power. So let me read a little bit about concentration here. There is only a fully efficient and correctly working memory, which indeed must be kept functioning by the human being. Hence the causes of so-called memory disturbances, concentration difficulties, and memory blockages only lie partially in the lack of interest of the human being concerned, or in the overloading of the memory with rubbish, with worries and problems. Let me talk about that a little bit. We need to focus a little bit more. There's so much rubbish that we're watching on TVs and YouTubes. With fixed ideas and other disturbing factors, if these disturbing factors become eliminated, then the memory and the concentration capability quite suddenly will come back on again, like a miracle. So we can lose our concentration ability because there's so much garbage that we're taking in. Most of the causes and disturbing factors are those of the false thinking and behavior, tension, stresses, self-mistrust, and the aforementioned fixed ideas. If the memory is always treated rightly, then it illustrates the so-called failures are only then possible when the human being overloads their memory with rubbish, or underestimates this and they deny its capabilities, if they are thus trusting it too little or even mistrusting it. For that reason, most with a failing memory only suffer from a bad and unreliable memory and from an inadequate concentration capability, because they imagine, due to their suffered damage or failure, that their memory and their concentration power has waned. The causes for that are purely psychically connected, and consequently the damage can thus again also be eliminated. So this is something that we're also dealing with today, is the damage to our ability to concentrate and our ability to remember things. So, and it has much to do with all the garbage. We're putting way too much rubbish and garbage in our minds. Let me read another section here. It says, if the debris, the hardship, and the rubbish and everything else burdening the material consciousness becomes removed, destroyed, and eliminated from it, then the communication between the material consciousness and the memory starts to function again. And indeed, to the degree to which the consciousness has become freed of its burden and its hindrance. I think we do damage to ourselves when we watch television and YouTube videos too much, and particularly ones that produce a lot of conflict. And we're continually dealing with, in the news, if it's verbal conflict, it's verbal, but also our movies are very violent. So we're just continually putting impure thoughts into our minds. If the consciousness is no longer burdened by rubbish, poison, debris, and hardship, or by terrible things like sorrow and worry, as well as other things, then it can once again communicate with the memory. which then also practically automatically again releases the already things that we thought were long forgotten, we can start to remember. So we have to tend for our consciousness. We have to take care of it. We have to not put rubbish in our consciousness. Our consciousness is like a garden. It's a flourishing garden. The psyche is the name for the half-material block and factor. The psyche controls the thoughts and the feelings of the material consciousness. And our material consciousness is who we are in this lifetime. But we have a spiritual consciousness that's been around much, much longer. Let me read to you a little something here, talking about our spiritual consciousness. It says, however, this is not true for any one human life form on Earth, and also for any spirit form belonging to higher spheres of Earth. Because the human beings of the Earth themselves, those created on Earth, are still so young that regarding their evolution, they are only beginning to change their last baby shoes. While those human beings on Earth who originally came from the far reaches of outer space only have a total of 8 to 12 million years. So your spiritual consciousness may be 8 to 12 million years old. If you came here on a ship back during the time of Pelagon or the time of Atlantis and Lemuria, and that means that you died and you lived through all these repeated cycles of disaster where all of civilization was pretty much wiped out and there was just a small group of people left. And you, deep within your subconscious, you have the trauma of experiencing going back to a very basic life where you had no technologies, where you went into the harshest form of living. Once again, we went back to that during the time of Pelagon and during the time of Atlantis and Lemuria. We are a society with amnesia. We've forgotten who we are. But you get these profound feelings that come bubbling up. Remember, the feelings come from the thoughts. And we have both conscious thoughts and unconscious thoughts. So let me continue here. Therefore, the human being of Earth is not yet in the position to comprehend all the nuances and forms of the feeling. And so these remain inaccessible to the human beings for a very long time. So we don't even understand our feelings yet. And I will absolutely 100% agree with that, because I have feelings all the time that I'm struggling to understand, well, where did that come from? When the human being of Earth will be able to do so, then he or she will already have long left the Earth and will be living somewhere on different planets, because the blue planet will not exist for as long as the human being needs to for his or her evolution in order to be able to one day enter into the spirit realm. So let me just say that eventually we'll leave the Earth. And this is one of the prophecies that the Maya materials talked about, is part of us will leave the Earth and go on to other worlds. And well, I remember one of the things that's talked about in Contact Report 251 is that we'll become taller again and we'll have longer lifespans. Our life force will be reestablished, the Lebenskraft, so that we have this tremendous life force, and instead of living for 70, 80, 90 years, we'll live 1,000 years again. And one of the best ways that you can help yourself to strengthen your Lebenskraft, to help your consciousness be like a garden, is to stop the negative repeating thoughts. psychically disturbed human beings, which we all are, we tend to see black and always black, and our perceptual ability becomes very limited. And the world of our thoughts also falls prey to this limitation where we're always thinking within this narrow framework. We can't get our mind off of whatever our latest problem is that we're dealing with. And our thoughts are thereby forced into a cycle, and the same thoughts and themes appear over and over and over again, whereby a rotation of the thoughts occurs. And this literally drives us into insanity. And your perceptive ability will be impaired through these negative and wrong thoughts. And eventually, if a person does this long enough, they'll be stuck in a delusional state. And you have to learn to strengthen and nurture and clarify your healthy thoughts. Tell yourself you're confident, you're optimistic, you're relaxed, you're cheerful, you're in harmony, you have hope, you persevere, you persist, you endure, you're the forger of your own fortune, you're the master of your own destiny. Eventually, you'll be the lord and master over your entire life. And if you practice self-cognition, self-examination, and self-control, you'll start to know yourself. So that which you think, you make real. And that which you think about yourself, you become. It is absolutely always necessary that good and positive thoughts are tended and nurtured. They're clarified. They're strengthened. It's also critical that you have good thoughts about yourself. You need to be your own best friend. That means you have no thoughts of inferiority, no thoughts, no negative thoughts. Be honest with yourself. Be benevolent. Don't turn your back on yourself. No self-chastisement, no self-abuse. And there's a big one, no feelings of inferiority. Care for your body, your health, your psyche. Don't devote yourself to your passions. Use your rational logic. Overcoming all that which is negative, slowly you'll master your life. You'll accept the negative. You'll live in balance with it. Your attentiveness will be steered away from your burdens, and you'll start to attach your attentiveness to something neutral. You will give yourself the sufficient respect that you deserve, and you start to accept the innermost creational personality, the actuality of your, what you can call your sublime I. Never allow yourself also to appear ragged. This is very easy to not do. You can let yourself appear ragged at times, but you shouldn't. Don't disregard the health of your consciousness. We were talking earlier about we watch so much crap which puts rubbish in our consciousness. You know, it's interesting, and I'm going to digress here. I was trying to figure out, because sometimes, I'll get asleep, and I just, poof, I'm asleep. I'm totally out. And then I wake up. And I know I slept like a rock all night. I don't remember a dang thing. But I wake up and I'm so tired. And I'm like, why am I so tired? And I think it's sometimes because of the garbage that I put, that I've watched on YouTube or on a television or something. And it's just like this garbage is really doing some damage in the psyche at night. It's something to think about. I'm just speculating that. Don't devote yourself to your passions, or you end up like someone running through the smoldering desert dying of thirst. Give yourself sufficient respect. Always consider yourself as wise and skillful as others. Always speak openly about the truth. Don't allow yourself to despair, and don't allow yourself to have bad temper. And this is another thing to watch out for. And if I may be wrong, let me read this to you. This is later down the same page in the stuff we were talking about earlier in the show. This is in contrast to when the tangled ideas confuse the thoughts and abruptly go from one extreme to another, whereby a misdirection of thoughts arises, which triggers emotions and can even lead to murder and manslaughter. The anger comes out. You remember, anger destroys the liver cells and makes cancers much more likely. So there's no room for rationality and virtue when you get into this tangled, irrational point of view. Remember, the thought gets misdirected, and that triggers the emotion. And the emotion is different than the feeling. The feeling grows from the thoughts. Emotions are just triggered. They roar up. So these basically wrong ideational thoughts, because only rationality and virtuelessness govern in highly emotional forms, for which a truthfully setting of the zeal and imagination of the seal, I should say, are foreign. In fact, only a following of, ideas, I-D-E-A-S, occurs, from which a setting of its seal can never result in any wise, because just the idea alone is followed without it being able to be made into an ideal, I-D-E-A-L. Whoa, there's a whole nother discussion in that difference between the two kinds of ideas. Do I know what that is? No. Do I have a lot of study to do? Yes. Striving. I wanted to talk about striving, of course. And this is another critical concept in the Way to Live book. Striving is, and I keep this book open to the striving page a lot, and I go back to the striving page. It's page 102 in your book called The Way to Live. Striving creates the life right up to the being. Striving means delectation, which is satisfaction, in a form which is always fulfilling and progressive. To be without striving means unwillingness and affliction. So if you're afflicted right now in your life, and I guess I it's really ironic here. I have to shine the spotlight on myself a little bit, because I have been afflicted, and I hadn't even thought about it this way in the past couple of days. And what did I have to do but devote myself in more striving? And those that are, again, listening to this maybe for the first time, or maybe your head is spinning a little bit, and I can understand that, because I think there's so much profound information here. Now, what we're talking about in striving is what's called a creational natural law. This universal consciousness is not a personification. It's a spiritual energy that created, you could say it created our universe, but it also has, the creation of our universe has something to do with something called the Ur creation as well. I don't want to go there yet. But the evolution of our universe is completely driven by this neutral positive entity, this superintelligence that your spirit form is a fragment of. And this superintelligence radiates love, but it has no personality. It doesn't save you. it's very neutral. And it creates human spirit forms as a part of its evolution. And one of the laws of the universe, the creational natural laws, is the law of striving. Every animal has to strive to survive. Every plant, every animal, every human being. And there will be times in your life, like I just experienced a couple of days of this, where you're required to really buckle down and strive very, very hard. And then during these real intense striving periods, a lot of times it's kind of tough. But it's the only thing that's going to pull you back into what you will enjoy. Let me continue here to make it clear. Affliction is inhibited striving and inhibited life, but inhibited striving and inhibited life bring inhibited evolution, stagnation, hopelessness, grief, confusion, irrationality, joylessness, cognitionless, unpeace, disharmony. Well, there's a big one. Now, if you could sum up one of the important principles from the Might of Thought book, Might of Thought, the Thought, is learning to maintain harmony in your thinking. But when disharmony comes in, for whatever reason, you got to start thinking about, why do you have this disharmony? Part of it can be from the garbage that you've absorbed from the media. Part of it can be from slacking off on your striving. There's many different things. Part of it can be fighting against the negative in your life. But this disharmony, lovelessness, resentment, lies, self-deceit, and eventually you'll experience a reluctance for life. And all that because you're not living according to one of these laws, this creational natural law, which is striving. The other great creational natural law is the law of love, effective love. Love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. Love is logical. True love is logical. Effective love is not impulsive. It's always consistent. It's always stable. Remember, everything in the universe is one, and it's all bound together. So you need to think of, you know, not have negative viewpoints on people. And when they all become an Ishwish, is my understanding, every human being becomes what's called an Ishwish at the fifth stage of evolution. It's kind of staggering if you think about it. Well, we've covered a lot today. I started out particularly talking about this concept called the life power, the Lebenskraft. It's necessary to search for the source of the life power and to develop the power in order to have a reliable life potential upon which one can depend, therefore in which one can completely trust. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show this evening. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Thanks for listening. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.